President Woodrow Wilson, I forget to hit the button. There we go. President Woodrow Wilson was once asked how long it took him to prepare a 10-minute speech. He said 2 weeks. Person said, that sounds like a long time. How long does it take you to prepare a 1-hour speech? He says, 1 week. Baffled, the person then said, well, then how long does it take you to prepare a 2-hour speech? And Wilson evidently smiled and looked at him and said, I can start now. This morning's sermon is going to be very short, so clearly I've been working on it for a long time. Now, actually, this is another thing, which is, I hope, famous last words, but I'll be honest, I thought there was more in this scripture to talk about, but the more I read it, the simpler it becomes in my sight. Now, this means one of two things. Either I understand it fairly clearly, or I'm missing a lot. Either way, this is going to be fairly short. We've been talking during this Lenten season about some of God's promises during the hard times of life. And it seems to me that this is a promise for some of the hardest times of life here. This was a promise Jesus gives in between the Last Supper and his arrest in the Gospel of John. And he says to them, I'm leaving for a while. A little while and you won't see me. And then a little while again and I'll return. And during that in-between, that little while in-between, Jesus warns his disciples, they will suffer. They will grieve. They'll be laughed at. Other people will be happy. They will not be. And Jesus says, but after that time, a little while again, no one will be able to take your joy away from you. We've been focusing on hard times, and sometimes hard times are only hard because of our kind of limited perspective, right? I mean, when we're in school, like Ashley, and we've got tests, you enjoy tests? No. Who enjoys homework? You like homework? The more homework you can get, the better, right? Give me as much homework as you can, teacher. No, we hate homework. We hate tests. But they're not bad for us. This is how we learn, right? They're excruciating while we go through them, but they're good for us. Some things are like that. Some of our hard times are like that. They're actually good for us. And some things in our life are hard because, yes, they really are hard, but they're also good for us. The example I always like to use because it's terribly embarrassing is when I was 9 years old, I broke a bone in my arm right here because I was running in the house like I shouldn't have been done, and I brushed against the wall, not very hard really, and cracked it. And so then for 6 weeks, I got to wear a cast on this arm. It's amazing. Somewhere in a box, I have this cast, which looks like a little infant cast to me now. I can't imagine my hand was ever that small. But what I do remember about it is it itched something terrible. I remember two things. One, when I took a shower, I had to wrap it up in a bread bag so it didn't get wet. And I remember it itched. And so I used to take a pencil and reach as far under the cast as I could from any direction to scratch. Because when a bone is healing, it itches. It's not fun, but it's for the good, right? And a lot of things in our life are like that. We've broken them, and they need to be fixed. And while they're getting fixed, there's some pain and some discomfort. But at the end, it's more than worth it. But I don't think Jesus is talking about either of those situations today. He's talking about a much more uncomfortable situation, and it's this. There are some things in our lives that just are not good. No matter what spin we turn on them. We may learn from them, some things, but they're not good. They're not what God wants. And at the end of the day, we're not going to be happy because of them. And the main thing that's like that is grief. When we lose a loved one, or when we lose something that we can't control, if we use control of our body, or, you know, there's a loss. And it can never be perfectly fixed. We may learn from it. We may grow from it. It may open the door to new opportunities. But that loss never goes away. It's always hard. And Jesus' promise is that in this sinful world, we will experience those times. There will be things that happen to us that just, when you balance them out, are worse at the end of the day, are harder at the end of the day. And Jesus' promise is simply this: there will come a day when those problems and headaches and heartaches will seem like just a moment, because our joy will be so much the greater. It's not that they're not real, and it's not that we'll ever completely forget them, but that our joy will be so complete and so full, we won't think about them much. And the dangerous metaphor that Jesus uses for this is childbirth. And I say dangerous because it is always, I guess if you're the Son of God, you can get away with this, but I find as a man it is always difficult to talk about childbirth. Because, let's be honest, we have no idea what we're talking about. We may have seen the films in health class. These days, we may have even been in the delivery room. We still have no idea what we're talking about. But Jesus' point, and I, with this metaphor, I think is very simple. It's not a perfect metaphor like any metaphor, but Jesus' point is simply this. Our headaches and heartaches and griefs during our life will be like childbirth in this respect. They really hurt. It's really hard. But after it's over, there's the promise of something that is so much better. I don't think this metaphor works with every headache and heartache we have in our lives. It's not that every tough patch we go through, we're going to get past and say, boy, that was hard, but I'm glad I went through it. I don't think that's Jesus' promise here, but I think that it's Jesus' promise for the whole of our heartaches and our headaches and our pains and our griefs. Not that they'll be easy, not that they'll vanish, but that there will come a day. Jesus just says, in a little while, there will come a day when we won't think as much about them. Because what Jesus has to offer us on that day is so much greater than the headaches and heartaches and pains and griefs of today. Now, as we kind of alluded to last Sunday, Jesus never is very specific or particular about what that's going to look like. And sometimes I wonder if it's just because we can't fathom it. But Jesus suggests that we will be so happy, so delighted, so fulfilled, so at peace, so exactly where we're supposed to be. This will all just seem like a small speed bump. Now, let's be honest. That doesn't exactly help you get out of bed in the morning. This isn't a promise that's going to help you get out of bed and put a smile on your face some days, because some days are hard. Truly, significantly hard. But in some ways, it is the greatest of Jesus' promises to us. That at the end, it's not that this won't matter, but there are such greater things in store for us we can't even imagine. And as Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospel of John, he's going to come and take us there himself. So if you're in a tough patch in your life, or you come upon one such patch in the near future, and nothing else seems to give you encouragement, I hope you remember this. A little while, and I will not be with you, Jesus says, but a little while again, oh, a little while again, and your joy will be so great, nothing will be able to take it away. Amen. Amen. Amen.